your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time.
Welcome everybody to the Resilient Minds Podcast. I'm sitting here with a gem. It's an amazing energy, a beautiful man, Mr. Jamal Miller. Welcome, brother. It's good to have you here, bro.
Eric, bro, I'm pumped to be on, man. We're about to have a good time, dude. I'm so excited.
Likewise, brother. I'm super pumped. And you know what, man? I just, you know, it's been a couple of weeks since we sat at the mastermind together. And yeah. I got to really get to know you and your story. But for those that don't know, are you okay if I share a little bit about you, your story, the brilliant things that you're going on and doing in the world?
Let's do it, bro.
Amazing. So for those of you that are, you know, not familiar with Jamal, Jamal and his amazing wife, Natasha Miller, got married after meeting on Facebook. Their digital love story took the world by storm. You know, clearly recognizing the need for transformational content, they were able to teach others how to do relationships and create relationships God's way. And God gave them a profound idea for a powerful brand. Together, they founded Miller Media Group, now the parent company for widely known online programs, the One University, Profit and Purpose Academy, Leader School, and Everyday Seminary. They've been since featured in Forbes, BET, Jet Magazine, and have been guests on CBN segment. All in the grand effort to do something really profound, reduce the divorce rate in America. With a powerhouse team of digital marketers, Miller Media Group reaches an online audience in the millions, and the One University has graduated over 7,000 students. Jamal Maman here is an Amazon best-selling author of 25 Ways to Prepare for Marriage Other Than Dating, so make sure you go check it out. He's the CEO of Miller Media Group, so make sure to go check that out, and founder of Profit and Purpose. Natasha, his amazing wife, is the creator and founder of the Fearless Women Mentorship Program, and both are associate pastors at All Nations Worship Assembly in Chicago, where they both reside. Together, they have amazing two beautiful daughters, Harvest Ann and Melody Grace. Brother, it's an honor, a pleasure, and a privilege to have you.
What's up, everybody? Thanks, Eric, for having me on. I'm excited, bro.
So resilience. First thing, you know, the name of the podcast, the Resilient Minds Podcast. Yep. I always tell everybody how, you know, bringing our experience into the world is what really contributes to our why, our biggest purpose, or how we really generate so much momentum. And I find that so many of my guests, you know, why I really like always share what I do is because I find that, you know, everything that I've experienced in life, whether it's travel, whether it's like, you know, falling into drugs in the past or doing all of this nonsense, you know, as I've evolved, you know, through society's conditioning and then deciphering those conditions as something that were not my own, recognizing that resilience was a big key part of that in my essence. So one thing that I'd love to ask first and foremost is, what has been your experience like? And from those experiences, what was it that helped you contributed to this powerful why that you and your wife are today on?
Man, great question. And it really does come down to that, right? But I think everybody needs to define it. We all know that this defining your why is so key to staying motivated during the hard times. And so I think it is very, you know, important that every single entrepreneur, every single leader have the thing that truly does say, hey, that this is what gets me up in the morning and makes me stay late up, you know, stay up late at night. Right. And so for me, it really does come down to the revelation of the multi-generational family, right? Like that thing for me is so key to knowing that my last name has the opportunity to establish a, you know, entire new lineage and path for the future generations that come after me. Like the thing of knowing that one day my great, great, great granddaughter would say, hey, if it wasn't for my great, 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 great grandfather, Jamal and Natasha, and they created Miller Media Group, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. So when I think about the future generations, and, you know, I come from a believer back, a Christianity background. So when I think about God, right, in the Old Testament, you consistently see the theme of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Like there was so much, like you go into the book of Numbers, you can get overwhelmed, but there is so much emphasis on generational, continuation, where God was already focusing and visualizing not just you, but what's going to come after you. So yeah, for me, yeah. Bro, like that's the thing that gets me up, knowing that I'm a part of something bigger than me, that I'm not just trying to change my life. But if I do change my life, I'm changing my generation's lives. You know what I'm saying? Like my kids, kids, kids' lives, like, and I'm setting them up, because the reality is whatever I don't have today, it's because my parents didn't think about it when they were, you know, being raised. It's because their parents didn't think about it. So everything I'm having to start anew, it's because it's things that my parents didn't think about giving me. So imagine if I'm already as a, what I call cycle breaker, thinking about what the future generations are going to need, imagine how much more successful they can be and be successful faster because their great, great, great grandfather already thought about setting them up to succeed and to continue to change the world. So for me, bro, I say all that to say, what gives me the resilience to keep going is one word, legacy. That's it.
Legacy, brother. And having legacy, I find that it really is something that's unique to each person. And I think that the way that you've defined it for yourself has become, you know, clearly through just like your energy and, you know, you're sensing it's like it's so much more bigger than you, right? Like it's more than you and your wife. It's more than your kids. It's down the line of seeing the potential come to fruition today as a result of allowing your ideas for the future generations come to life, but doing it now, right? Like executing now, because it's so powerful. Like we have these ideas so often, and we don't believe or execute them, or we put them off to a later date only to, you know, procrastinate. And it's like Tony Robbins always says, knowledge is potential power. It's the execution of that knowledge that creates the power.
Absolutely.
So brother, you know, you've been on this profound journey over the course of your life. Was there something that kind of switched, or was there a change in your belief system as you grew that kind of turned on that said, aha? Was there a moment? Was there like an aha moment that you had all of this intellect just like downloaded and now you're like, I'm going to go and execute?
Yeah. I mean, if I, you know, trying to dial back to a key moment, you know, I think clearly, you know, I got two defining moments. My first defining moment when I was about 16. And in that moment, you know, I was far from God. I was living a very identity-less life, you know, just being a teenager, you know, really, you know, lost and broken and really searching for that purpose and that meaning to life. And when I, you know, found God and was able to kind of get a sense of why I existed, and not only got a why, but I got language, you know, that, hey, I'm everything in this world has been made with purpose. Every single thing that's been created. If I look at my desk right now, this camera has a creator, and that creator created it with purpose in mind that it would capture footage, but via photograph, via video, right? When I look at this bottle of hand sanitizer, this bottle of hand sanitizer has a creator, and they created it that it would be able to get rid of germs so that you would not get sick, right? This marker has a creator, and it was created that you would be able to write on a board, and put things on a board, right? So if everything here that I'm looking at in front of me, I could tie back to a creator, and that creator created it with purpose in mind, how much more as human beings, if we do that innately, where we create products and services and programs with purpose in mind, and the first thing we're thinking about is what is this thing going to accomplish once it's created? how much more as human beings do we have a creator, whether you believe it's God, whether you believe it's Allah, whether you believe it's Buddha. At the end of the day, I'm not judging who you believe your creator is, but someone created you. Yeah. And when they created you with purpose in mind that you would come to the earth and accomplish something very unique and specific. So when I had that aha moment, for me, it is God, it's Jesus. I believe he is my creator. And when he created me, he didn't create me just to exist and to take up space. He created me with purpose in mind that I have gifts, I have abilities, I have quirks, I have a personality that all were fashioned for me to accomplish something. And now it's my journey and my job to discover what that thing is and do it with everything that I have, right? So that was like my first moment. 16, 17, I get this like, oh crap. Like, I'm not just here just to take up space. There's more in me that the world needs, right? So that's 16, 17. And bro, for me, that was like, that took me on this journey. And I'm, you know, today, 31 years old, still discovering why I exist. But clearly along the way, I've already been doing a lot of things that are changing people's life and me being on path to the ultimate purpose of my life, which is, you know, like I said, is to establish legacy and continue to inspire millions of people to find their purpose.
And I think that that's so like beautifully put, brother, you know, and at a young age to be able to discover that is really admirable because so many of us, myself specifically, I'll speak to myself at 16 and 17, I was a very lost soul. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I can only imagine, you know, and being able to like define that and recognize that in yourself at a very young age, I really commend you because that means that you were put on the right path and aligned and probably, you know, were around the right individuals, which is great. And what do you think, you know, for anybody that's listening, maybe in that age realm, or maybe somebody that has, you know, children in that age realm, like what was something that really like surrounded by or really cultivated in the relationships that you had at that age that allowed you to recognize that in yourself? Because for me, bro, and the reason I asked this, I'm really curious because for me, like, you know, I got into the wrong group of friends. I started doing drugs. I became an addict. I started selling them, like all of this, like spiral down the rabbit hole at that age. And, you know, what I would have done for going the opposite. I mean, I'm grateful for my experience. Don't get me wrong. For like sure. I am who for I sure, am bro. Because
it made you exactly it all, right? Right.
But like, you know, for anybody that's, you know, maybe before at that path right now, or you know, parents that are having that type of, anybody that's listening right now, like, what would you say, you know, at that age, what was it that you did that allowed you to have that defining moment where that was so catalyst in your evolution?
Failure. I was in a very toxic relationship. Did you say failure? Yeah, I said failure.
Yeah.
Because I said I was failing. I was looking at myself and realizing, yo, look at the decisions I'm making and look at the results that I'm already producing because of the decisions that I'm making. And it was just a moment where I just knew that there had to be more to life than what I was experiencing. But that wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have had the series of failures that I was having. And yes, I will say I'm grateful. My mom had already exposed me to God and to religion and to opportunities. And my mom was a prayer warrior, so she was praying over me. So I do believe those prayers were working to get me to a place in my life where I would open my eyes, and not just my natural eyes, but my spiritual eyes, to see that there's another world in operation, right? And whether, you know, how you say it, Eric, you're like, yo, like, I'm grateful for what I went through, but what could have happened if I could have gotten that epiphany sooner, that there's more in me, right? And the reality is you would not want your children to go through the same journey that you went through. Even though you're grateful, you're like, yo, I wouldn't want my kids to go through that. So what do I have to do to get them in the position for them to see that there's more in them? And I don't know what your background was with parents, but parents play such a huge role, right, in the effective exposing of their kids to the worldview of what this world is here for and their position and responsibility in it. So before the world gets to you, and I say the world, the negative, you know, opinions and the negative opportunities. And we all know, man, like when you start discovering power outside of the right context, you start discovering money outside of the right context, you start discovering love outside of the wrong context. That stuff right there, money, power, love, those three drives in the wrong place and at the wrong time before you can handle it is destructive. So yeah. As a father, I'm already preparing my girls for when those moments come, when a boy comes in their life, when opportunities come in their life, when any of these things that I know have the opportunity to derail them, I'm already speaking to them before that stuff comes and says, and telling them, here's what to do in that moment. I'm not controlling them. I can't control them. And I'm not going to say they're going to go out perfect, but I'm going to play my part to give them language for how to handle the temptations of life. Because I don't care who you are, every single person, no matter what you believe, you're going to be tempted to either do things that are going to make you a better person or things that are going to make you a worse person. But we all know whether you take the better decisions or the worst decisions, there is opportunity at every single moment to jump back into your designed path, right? Yep. Where you are aware of what you're doing. So I think that's the thing for me, man. It will come back to, you know, for those who are listening, they're like, yo, I'm in a crazy place. It's like, hey, it's never too late. Start today, you know, and you now can take everything that you've gone through and you can be able to become that person that you were destined to become. Or if you're a person that's like, yo, like I got kids that I went through some crazy stuff and I don't want them to go through it. Hey, start telling them now. Start sharing your story with them now.
Being willing to have those conversations, hey? Like, because I think so far, like my parents, they were like, they're amazing parents. They're still amazing parents, but like they were scared of having conversation. I won't deny it. Like it was, there was this like, not this, it was like this black fog of like, you know, this, whatever is negative or like, you know, sex, drugs, whatever, like it wouldn't, there wouldn't be a conversation about it. And so obviously as a young boy, you know, the curiosity starts to take you, right?
Bro, absolutely. All that. And how you even identify, they're great parents, but I see their flaws, right? And no parent is going to be perfect. You're not going to, I'm not sure. Do you have kids?
No, I'm single and
all the good stuff, right?
You're like, hey, I was divorced, so maybe I should have taken your course before.
All good, bro. God works it out. I promise.
Yeah.
But do you aspire one day to have kids?
Absolutely, bro. I can't wait. I can't wait to have kids. I can't wait to be a father. Absolutely.
So you're already thinking, right? You know, though. Hey, I'm gonna be the best dad I can be, right? But even being the best dad you want to be, you still will fall short, right? Yeah. So even when we say, hey, our parents are great parents, like I'm expecting my kids to be like, yo, my dad was amazing, but here's some things that I would have done different. Here's some, even with me trying to do it. So so people always like, they try to do a disclaimer like, hey, I had great parents, but I'm like, yo, it's okay. Like, you know, our parents are not perfect. They messed up. The goal is for us kids is how can we take what they did great and continue it on and improve. Right. And so yeah, but like even have you're recognizing where they messed up. It's like, yo, like they could have done this better, could have done that. We're not blaming them. I'm not blaming my parents for my shortcomings, for my mess ups. At the end of the day, I gotta take responsibility for what I was given, and I'm gonna continue to make the most of it. But I'm not gonna stop there. The way to make this world better is to continue to improve upon what we've been given. And I believe there's a scripture that says, to whom much is given, much is required. Right. And that verse is very pivotal because I believe that every generation should be given more to steward, which is how we'll continue to see our world improve.
Absolutely. And you know what I love? I think it comes down to like what comes to me right, is like the compassion, right? People are doing the best they can with the knowledge they have. You know, like there's so much that we don't know that we don't know. And we all have these different outbursts expressions of life. And we all look from a different lens. And I really come down to like understanding is like, this person has such a beautiful outlook of life. Or maybe they don't, maybe they have a completely, something that I don't resonate with, but having compassion to it is really was really been for me the eye opener in my own life of like, just because I don't agree with it doesn't mean that it's wrong. Because it's different doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. It just means that it's unique to them and they're again doing the best that they can. So I find that that's like been a really key component of my evolution is like having compassion for people that look at life from a different perspective or, you know, whatever they need because they're doing the best. They're doing the best, you know?
Exactly.
To me, that's been so, so important. So brother, you know, like as you know, you continue to grow, as you've continued to, you know, you and Natasha continue to grow your company, like describe the process of what it looked like to evolve this amazing business into what it is today. And where did that come from? Where did these, you know, you said that you got this idea from our creator, from God. And now, you know, you're serving that purpose. So describe the process behind that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, man. So for me, it starts with people, right? Everything starts with people. So I have a framework that I created called the Circle of Purpose, right? And the Circle of Purpose is just the framework that I use to help me stay centered on, you know, how am I creating brands and products and services that are purpose driven? And the Circle of Purpose starts with people. Identifying an audience of people that you believe you're called to serve, right? And number two is the key piece. Once you identify the people you're called to serve and who you want to help and who you want to, you know, give things to. And I'm creating this off of, you know, we look at Jesus, whenever he came to the earth, like he identified his people. He said, hey, I'm not coming here for people who believe they're well. I'm coming here for people who believe that they're sick, right? So who know they're in need of a savior. Like he identified the group of people that he was there to help. And you see God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So like the world is God's people. You know what I'm saying? Like this is his audience that, and he sent. And then now once you identify your people, now you go into what's their problem? What problem do they have that I believe I'm called to help them solve? That I have it within my ability to help them cross over into solution zone. So we see God, he helped solve a problem that the world was basically at a place where they needed a savior. So he sent his son, Jesus. So we see God solving a problem. Jesus, when he came to it, he saw, hey, these people need a savior. I need to die. So it's recognizing the problem that needs to be solved. So for me, right, my journey, it started off with recognizing, yo, people, singles are really struggling with this journey of how to get married and how to not end up in a relationship that's going to hurt them or delay their life 5-10 years. Because a lot of people are like, yo, I'm just so scared to get in a relationship and it takes 3-4 years of my life away from me. Or you see what I'm saying? Like, so these are some of the fears of relationships. But we all know that a good relationship is probably one of the most valuable things you can have in your life. You having a life partner that is connected to where you're going and you guys are working together. The Bible says two are better than one. You know, like we're seeing that there is so much opportunity and potential when you commit and connect your life to another person. But man, if that thing is not the right fit, it could be the most destructive and the most painful thing that you can go through in this life. And so how do we prepare for this, right? So that was something that I'm seeing was these are my people. I want to help these singles. Then what's their problem? Like, yo, their problem is identifying a healthy relationship, identifying a healthy person. So you just continue to move down the wheel. Then we go into proficiency. Well, okay, what skills do I have? What is the story? What is my expertise? Then profit. How do I now create a product that can help these people do this and solve their problem? So these are all the things that I learned while I was building our business. And now this has moved, now my business has moved forward because I'm not just working with singles anymore. My audience has changed. Now I'm working with people, you know, that are desiring to become the best version of themselves, you know, and so are essentially people who are stuck in life and who are wanting to accomplish life goals in half the time. Because a lot of things we think life goals, like, you know, get married or start a business or, you know, get a career promotion. A lot of these things we think got to take 10, 15 years. No, it's like, yo, like if you jump into the acceleration of your life, you can accomplish some goals. Like I'm 31 years old and I've accomplished life goals that some people would take 20, 30 years to accomplish, you know, in a matter of 5 years, right? I've gotten married. I've had two beautiful children. I've become a millionaire. I own real estate. I own a business. Have 20. Like if we start lining up the things, it's not to brag. It's to say, hey, this thing is possible, but you've got to go into a personal development acceleration where you have no limiting beliefs about yourself and about what's possible with what you can accomplish and achieve. These are now the people I'm focusing on. What's their problem? Their problem is they're stuck in life and they have no idea what they're capable of. Proficiency, what's my ability, my story? And hey, this is what I've been able to do. You can do it too. Product, hey, here's the, you know, and so bro, like, so that's the zone of thinking that I do for everything that I'm operating and every brand I build is I'm identifying who are the people, what's their problem, how can I serve them, and how can I put this into a product or a service that can do this at scale?
You know, and because I love what you've done and I love like the brilliance of it. And I think that you've done like the way that it's been so unique and the way that you've added value to so many people's lives. In fact, you're not just a millionaire yourself. You've created millionaires, like multiples of them. You know what I mean? In what you're doing. And that is really how you're tremendously adding value. To me, you know, going back just to the, I really want to expand on that. So I just want to remind that because that's really powerful of what you're doing. But going back to like the relationship side of it, you know, I really believe like how you said, two is better than one. I really believe that spiritual practice, like a relationship is a spiritual practice, right? Like it really evolves you to a whole new element of who you are. And you learn all these lessons and all these like, these mirrors, you know, these reflections, right? These new lenses. And, you know, for me, relationship has always seemed to be an issue. And it's a limiting belief, of course, that I can't find the right one, or, you know, she's not out there, or, you know, I can't find somebody that I want to build a business with, like all of these limiting beliefs come down. Right. Yep. And of course I've been in some tremendously, and all of them, to be honest, all of them have been amazing. Like they've all been ways to enlighten me and see a newer version of Eric. But the biggest thing that I find that so many of us like men struggle with is letting down that guard of like, of opening up, you know, like truly opening up. Because, you know, like opening up like is one thing, but like truly opening up to our partners has been something that in my experience has been that essence of staying in my masculine way too hard. You know what I mean? And not allowing my ability to connect to my feminine side at times, pushing somebody away. So that's something that like, you know, I just wanted to touch on because I think we all need to really understand how that allows us to evolve as men, you know, playing that balance of like playing with your feminine and masculine energy. And I'm just curious to know how you've been able to, balance that energy, just because I've struggled with it myself.
For sure. I think for me, it comes back down to one word. And this one word is the key to successful relationships. It's the key to successful businesses. And I believe it's the key to successful life. And it's servanthood. When you put others before yourself and you value someone else's needs over yours, and if that person does the same for you, there's no way for the relationship to fail because you're constantly competing with one another healthily to outserve each other, right? Because you're like, hey, I care so much about your happiness. I'm willing to put you before my own. And if that person is got the same mindset of, I care so much about your happiness, then I'm willing to put yours before mine. And you both are in this thing together, trying to outserve each other. Man. Mm. So back to, how do you show up vulnerable? How do you show up, you know, and tapping into the energy that may not be comfortable to you? It's whatever that person needs, I'm going to do because I love them and I want to serve them. And a lot of this word has been taken for granted and it has been abused, and it can easily be something that if you're with the wrong person, yes, you can be taken advantage of. But this is why you need to make sure you're partnering your life up with someone that is on the same playing field as you, and they're going in the same direction. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked, which means do not partner with someone that's not headed in the same direction that you're headed, because there's no way for you to be able to make it to the destination that you both are desiring to make it to, right? Which is why dating is so important to the process of marriage and linking yourself with somebody, knowing how to date well. So for me, it's thinking to the confines of, what does my wife need? She doesn't need macho Superman Jamal 100% of the time. Now, granted, 50, 60% of the time, yeah, she, you know, she needs Jamal that's like, yo, I got this. I got somebody knocking at the door. I got it. I'll go open. So if somebody's breaking in the house at night, I'm not gonna be like, baby, can you go get it? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, she doesn't need, you know, that energy at certain moments, but there are certain times when she's crying. She doesn't need, wipe your tears. What you think this is? Don't be crying right now. We ain't crying. We don't cry in this house. No, she doesn't need macho Jamal when she's feeling emotional. She needs, hey, babe, come on, let's talk about it. What's happening? What's going on? If there's a moment where I'm failing or I'm falling short, she doesn't need me hiding it and trying to be a man over it. No, I need to bring her into it. Hey, listen, I'm failing right now with this. I'm having a hard time. So, and why am I doing this? Because this is best for her, because I'm inviting her into a weak place of mine. And I'm giving her opportunity, and not only opportunity, access to serve me in a place that I can't serve myself, right? Because there's only so much you can do for yourself. You have to let others in. So these are the things, bro, like the center of that idea is, hey, can I find someone, or how can I continue to be a person that is positioning myself to value the needs of others above myself and doing whatever I have to do to be able to be what others need me to be in a healthy way?
And that's literally how you've transitioned that brilliance into now your business. And that, like Tony says, you know, I don't know if you know this, but Tony's like a huge mentor of mine. He's been really pivotal in my life.
Super cool.
But, and he always talks about, you know, how business is a spiritual game, essentially. You know, business is such a spiritual component. So now as you've evolved your business and like really have helped so many key people out there create and become millionaires, can you elaborate a little bit further on how you were able to take this dynamic and help individuals really grow their own brands, their own businesses, their own recognition, and their own pocket as a result of you showing up and helping them just execute it? Because so many of us, we come out in this world with like ideas. But again, at the beginning of the podcast, I said, you know, knowledge is not power. Knowledge is the execution of power. And you've been the execution of the execution, right? Like you've made that shit happen. So what did that look like at the beginning? And what does it look like now?
Man, that's a great question. Essentially, you're asking really, what is the key to not quitting? You know, because that's the war, the battle of execution is being inactive. It's being on the bench, it's being on the sidelines, whatever you want to consider it. You know, it's being an audience, you know, it's being in the stands, you know, where you are looking at the action. And you're seeing the guys play the game every single day, whether you're on social media, whether you are in your job, like you're watching people succeed and play the game. right? And what does it take for you to get in the game? And I really do believe it comes down to what breaks your heart, right? Like, what is the thing that truly does cause you to say, hey, I do not want this to happen to me or to anyone else. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes, break past my own fears, my own worries, my own concerns. You know, when I think about these players who are playing at these professional levels, right? At some point, they had to stop caring about what other people thought about them. And they had to just do the thing that needed to be done. There is no one that is going to succeed at extreme levels that's not going to be criticized, that is not going to have opinions and negative energy thrown your way. So that's the thing that I would say is you overcoming the need to be pleasing to others approved by others, celebrated by others, cheered on by others. Can you be a cheerleader of one and still keep going, where you're literally just saying, bro, keep going, keep pushing, keep doing this? Because I believe this, and this is such a powerful concept. This thing right here has floored me. People will only celebrate you at the point that it's popular to celebrate you.
Wow.
People will only celebrate you at the point that it's popular to celebrate you. Everybody, when it's time, when everybody else is celebrating you and congratulating you, oh yeah, it's easy to do it then. But when nobody's doing it, when nobody's around you, I keep going back to the Bible because that's my big life book for me. We look at Noah, when God tasked him to build the ark, and it's like, yo, Noah, I need you to build this ark. There was nobody around, right? There was nobody around. Nobody was there. They were looking at him like, what are you doing? You're crazy. Why are you building this? It doesn't rain around here. You're an idiot. You're dumb, right? And he had to get over the need for people's approval. And so for me, bro, like, that's been my journey. Most people who are builders, who are leaders, who are visionaries, you're going to be called to do things that a lot of people are not going to understand when you're in the middle of the process. So you've got to get over needing other people's approval in order to do what you're supposed to do in this world. That's the thing that I would say has been like my drive, has been, Jamal, you don't need anybody else to say, good job, keep going, you got this. I know we all need encouragement from here and there, but we shouldn't depend on it. Because there's going to come a time when no one's there and you've got to keep going. Because essentially what you're asking is, how did you not quit? I didn't quit because I didn't rely on other people's approval to keep going.
And brother, I think that that's the thing is the need for approval in today's society is so powerful, right? And
everywhere. Likes, follows.
Exactly, right? Like social media, everything that's going on right now, even like, you know, you go into this, you know, this fear-mongering of like of everything with COVID and what's going on, like, it's all just, everyone needs to gain approval from somebody else. And I do believe, like what you're saying is, it is powerful. Like, the first person you need to believe in is yourself, right?
Yeah.
That's the first thing that needs to happen. And as you've built Miller Media, you know, and you've been able to help these individuals really grow, you know, what's next for Miller Media? What does that look like? You know, what's the vision for helping these entrepreneurs continue to create more and do more and execute more?
Yeah, man. I mean, for us, it's to create a worldwide e-learning platform that has the ability to transform millions of people. I want to be able to be a place where people can continue their education, their personal development, and in every area of their life where they are lacking, my company has a brand that can help these people level up to become the best version of themselves, and doing that for millions of people around the world.
Amazing, bro. And when people show up, like when you're looking at this and you're sharing this, because this is something that like, you know, it touches back on the last question of, you know, like having the belief in yourself first. When people do have like opposite opinions of you, or they look at your vision right now and, you know, they say, yeah, right, or whatever, what is your response to that?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. So when people oppose what I am aiming to accomplish, or they don't see what I see, you know, you definitely got the one side that is very much a, hey, I'll prove you wrong. I'll show, you know, just, you know, look back in the next few. But then there's the other side is like, yeah, God, you know, I almost like go back to when Jesus was on the cross and they were crucifying him. And Jesus literally said, forgive them for they know not what they do, right? And I think it's taking that humble approach, man. When people don't accept or don't agree, it's, hey, that's your loss, you know? And we keep going. I don't really allow negative energy or negative, you know, opinions to really get deep into my soul. And for the most part, it's because, hey, you're not aligned where I'm going, and that's perfectly fine.
What about like, and I love that answer. I just want to go a little bit deeper. What about like worthiness? So because so many entrepreneurs are, you know, they'll fail forward, fail backward, fail whichever way. But when it comes to worthiness, sometimes it's like, you know, am I worth getting into that next stage of my development? And what would you say when somebody's like, I am genuinely feeling unworthy of this possibility? How can I step into it? Because this has been really powerful in my own experience of life, of like business and entrepreneurship, of like, no, man, like I'm going to execute this. I believe that I can do this. I know that I can. Even though my monkey mind is telling me I'm not capable or worthy, how did you step into that? Or what would you say to somebody else that like is seeking their own self-worth?
Bro, I go back to the people that my life has changed in some way. So I go back to watching one of the success stories. I go back to watching one of the testimonials of people who they wouldn't be who they are or accomplish something in their life if it wasn't for what I created or what I made. And then I just channel that energy and that motivation to say, hey, there are millions of more people like this who need what's inside of me. If God can use me to change that person's life, then I know that he's not saying to me, Jamal, it's over. Yeah. You're done. No, as long as I have breath in my body, there is more impact to be made. And that is my drive, right? If this was everything that life had to offer, then I'll have a reason to quit, right? I know that there's a lot more this life has to offer. So I don't have a reason to quit. I have to keep up and keep going and keep pushing. And my mind is going to put up those barriers because it is uncomfortable to push past what you've known or what you've already done or what you've already seen. So on the other side, not only am I going to inspire myself with the people who have already changed, but I'm also going to inspire myself to get around people who are doing things more than I'm doing so that I can begin to see the impossible become possible. So for me, when I have conversations with billionaires and when I have conversations with guys running organizations of 300, 400, 500 people, when I have guys with conversations, when I have conversations with guys that are doing, you know, multiple businesses across many different industries, things that my mind says, Jamal, that's not possible. You got to focus. Or Jamal, that's not possible. You got to make this much money. Or Jamal, that's not possible. You got to do this, do that. I get around guys that are doing it and I'm like, yo, look at them. They're doing it. Jamal, don't be intimidated. Be inspired.
Yeah. Be inspired, not intimidated. I love that. That is, I think that's the biggest, that is a big thing for anybody that's comparing themselves so often to everybody else, is like they're in that intimidation factor rather than the inspiration factor. And I remember telling Tony Robbins one day, I said, Tony, I'm going to continue your legacy. And he's like, no, Eric, you're not going to fucking do that. You're going to create your own, you know? And it was just super empowering and inspiring to hear that coming from the big man's mouth. And it was just like, it's important because we get so stuck sometimes, right? We get inspired by somebody and we start comparing ourselves, you know, to where they are compared to where we are. And then, you know, we forget that we're on this journey in our own pace and recognizing that it is a journey rather than, you know, a destination. Brother, you've given us such a clear and amazing path to success and how you've established. Why would you say, you know, people fail?
Sometimes it's necessary, because I don't believe failure is all bad. I do believe there is opportunity in failure. And I believe you should aim to fail because then you rise up even stronger. And so for me, I've always connected to, you know, failing to forward motion, because to me, failure is a product of forward motion of I'm doing something. It may not have resulted in what I wanted it to result in, but I am producing, I am taking action, and I am moving forward. So the question is always, am I failing forward? Am I taking what just happened, processing it, evaluating it, optimizing it in order for me to go back out there and do it better and to ensure success? So I believe people fail for a reason. They fail so that they can be able to get back up and do it again, even better than they did last time. And that's my perspective of failure. I know for a lot of people, they may see it in other ways, but for me, anytime that I fall short or that I fail, I also got to remember that it's relative, because my failure could be someone else's success, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's the nature of life, is that we all have different viewpoints of failure based upon what our own goals and our expectations are. So for anyone that is out here that feels like they are a failure, you're not a failure. You're an opportunist. You're someone that is maximizing opportunities, and you're taking action, and it just not resulting in what you thought it was going to result in. So, hey, is this an opportunity for you to pivot? Is it an opportunity for you to do something different? Is it an opportunity for you to do it better, to try again? These are the questions you should be asking yourself, not dwelling on it not being what you thought it was supposed to be. You're focusing on the wrong thing.
Oh, amen, brother. That was, yeah, absolutely. The focus needs to be on the right things. And I love that. I think that that's, I'm loving so much of what you're saying. I just can't stop saying I love that. Brother, it really means a lot. So tell me this, Ben. If anybody is really looking for ways to connect with you and find out more about what you're doing, what's the best way to really connect with you, reach out to you, see what you're up to, get curious about what Miller Media is doing and maybe be part of these e-learning platforms and stuff like this?
So for us, definitely please follow me on Facebook, follow me on Instagram at Jamal Miller. That's the quickest way to, you know, I'm constantly living there, doing stories every day, really just investing deep in that community of people that are following me there. And for everything that we do, all the brands that we're serving, you can go to them, theoneuniversity.com. That has a plethora of information and content for you. Leaderschool.com, if you're looking to learn how to level up your leadership. Everydayseminary.com, if you're looking to level up your Bible knowledge and understanding. You guys see me dropping a lot of Bible scriptures. I believe no matter what you believe, the Bible is a great book of wisdom that can help channel you for, you know, where you're supposed to go and who you're supposed to become. And so those are the brands right now that you could go and check out. But most importantly, go to at Jamal Miller on Instagram, and love for you to be a part of me there.
Check out Jamal, go follow him. He's full of wisdom, and I'll definitely, you know, drop all the show notes in the podcast for you. Brother, I have one last question before we go. Cool. And it's one that I ask everybody because I think it's a profound one. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
3 days left to live. Man, that is, you know, the first thing I go to is my family. How can I take the 3 days to package everything that I know and that I have learned so that they can have the ability to continue on learning from me beyond my life? Because that secures my legacy. That's family. Next thing would be, I would probably more than likely, you know, take the closest people to me who've been a part of what I've been able to build and delegate those things to them so that they can continue those things on, whether it be my businesses or, you know, whatever life projects I'm a part of. Who is going to be the people to continue it on? Because when Jesus left, he empowered the 12 disciples to continue his work here on the earth. And we see Christianity still continuing to change lives today because of those men that took Jesus' life work and continued it on. And if I had 3 days to live on the third, I would, man, that's a good one. You got family. I have continuing on the life project, delegating them to leaders. Yeah, I think I would, you know, those are, I mean, two top things for me. I'm not too sure. I would love to hear the other answers you get, but those are where I focus, man. I would make sure that my family knows, you know, what to continue to do, my businesses, and that would be it.
I love it, bro. Thank you so much for coming on, man. It was an honest pleasure to have you, bro. Thanks for all the wisdom. Do you have any last Absolutely. Things that you want to share? Any insights?
No, man, that's it for now, bro. I believe I've given some really strong wisdom. I guess if I could share anything to anyone here that is listening in and that is watching this podcast or listening to this podcast, if you're in a season of your life where you just feel stuck and you feel like you're not being maximized, I would encourage you to reevaluate your entire life. Take a week and lock yourself in a room, a hotel room, go travel, go on a beach, and just dream. A lot of times when we're stuck, it's because we are in an environment that's not allowing ourselves to go outside of what we've been accustomed to. So change your environment and go to a place where you can just allow your brain to just, in your mind, to just wander. And I want to encourage you with that, because that's something that I believe a lot of people, when they're stuck, they don't know where to start to get unstuck. And I want to encourage you today, go get into an environment where you can dream and you can let your mind wander and to find that place that you've been created to cause this world to be a better place.
Oh, amen, brother. Appreciate you. Amazing insight. Thank you, brother. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely, man. Thank you, bro.